It's not every day that I get introduced by one of my youth group members. How old are you anyway, Julie? Spence, can I take your tie? I forgot my tie this morning. Maybe I'll look a little better for you today. Just tease with it. He's gullible, isn't he? He'll do that. You know, your pastor and myself have done ministry in the Blue Water area for quite a few years. Can you believe it or not that it's been 30-something years now that we've been here in the Blue Water area enjoying what God is doing? Because God's doing a really awesome thing in our community. And it's a joy to be here with you and to share with you this morning. And you know what? Let's just pray for your pastor and Susan. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given Brendan, myself, and Andrea to be here with this great ministry that has been a beacon of light in the Blue Water area for many years. Lord, just restore them. Give them rest. Enrich their lives. Strengthen them by your Spirit, even now as they are enjoying some time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now open our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us individually. We pray this in your most powerful name. Amen. Amen. All right. My lovely wife, Brenda, why don't you stand up? My daughter, Andrea Starr. It's a joy. If it wasn't for her, I sure wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And Andrea's here, and she's expecting here our third grandbaby in November. And we were just a week away with our other grandbabies. And boy, I tell you what, I don't know why God didn't allow me to be a grandpa first. Because it's so enjoyable just being a grandpa. And especially yesterday, got up my oldest grandbaby and, whoa, man, I was just, gave it right over to Daddy, and Dad had no problem whatsoever just cleaning up. And so it was really good to do that. But it is a joy to be here with you. Just want to share a little bit with you. As you saw the video, Brenda and I had the privilege of being invited to go to the Billy Graham organization, The Cove, in Charlotte, North Carolina. How many have ever been there to The Cove? One? Two? Isn't that something? Phenomenal. Again, as a little boy, I remember driving home. My dad was an evangelist, and we would be driving home in the car. And, it'd be at 10 o'clock at night, and I'd be in the front seat, and I'd grab my mom's arm, and I would always hear, not George Beverly Shea, but his other partner. Anyway, the hour of decision, if you remember that. You probably don't remember that. But Billy Graham came on and had the hour decision. I remember falling asleep listening to Billy Graham preach on Sunday nights driving home. And what a powerful man. Can you imagine that? Being here, we'll be celebrating his 95th birthday in November. What a man who has been able to lead probably more people to Christ than any other human being on the face of the earth. Isn't that something? He's had influence over 11 presidents have invited him to come to the White House to sit to seek the counsel that God has given this man. And this was his last wish. He says, I want to preach one more crusade. And you have to understand that he can't even really walk. He's in a wheelchair. But this initiative, this project, probably, hopefully, will be bigger than anything he's ever done before. Isn't that something? Right now, this program has been going on for 10 years in 57 other nations of the world. Can you imagine that? 57 other nations have already incorporated this strategy. And it's simply in a nutshell, is to raise up Matthews, right? Like one of Jesus' disciples. And Jesus said to Matthew that he was going to go to his house. So Matthew got so excited, he threw a party, had all of his friends, his relatives, and his enemies, come over to his house. And they enjoyed a party just to come to hear what Jesus had to say. And so basically, this is what this initiative is all about. Let me ask you this. How many here know people that are not born again, who have not known Christ as their Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. If you know people that are not born again, look at that. Well, what we're talking about today is we're talking about the basic command that Jesus gave to us. When's the last time you heard, right, a message preached on the Great Commission? It's been a long time. But we've had the privilege now of going into and sharing this with 67, I think, different churches and other organizations in this Blue Water area. Can you imagine that? 67 other churches, just like you, are involved and engaged in this initiative. And that is to really make an impact for Christ, to see those that are lost, right, come to know Christ. You know, this year, this past April, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Titanic's sinking. Isn't that something? 100 years. How many were able to go see the little expedition or the show that they had? They brought the Titanic here to St. Clair. Anybody? All right. There was one, two, three. It was a 6-ton type of replica of the Titanic. What a picture of today's society. Eating, drinking, marrying. Hey, the unsinkable ship and its maiden voyage. 2,223 people were on that ship coming across the Atlantic on the biggest ship that was ever built, the unsinkable ship. Engaged in partying and all kinds of things. Life is good, man. This is so wonderful. But little did anyone on that ship know that 1,507 of these people would perish that night that it sunk. Isn't that something? Only 700 people were saved. The lifeboats dropped down into the ocean in the frigid waters of the North Atlantic. Only out of the 20 ships, the 20 lifeboats, they were all half filled. And they sailed away in fear that they would be towed under by the ship sinking. And when you read some of the memoirs of some of the people that were on the ship that survived, the 700 that survived, they said that even to the last day that they were living, they'd have nightmares of hearing people cry out, "Help! Save us! We're drowning!" They'd wake up in the middle of the night and they were just struck and paralyzed with the fact that they allowed another human being to drown or to have hypothermia and die floating in the water. Can you imagine that? That is a picture of what's happening today. There are people that are lost. They're screaming out for help, not in the natural, but they're aimlessly wandering the earth, not knowing what their purpose is in life, without any hope. Did you know that there's hopelessness in our nation today? People are upset about money. They're upset about where they live. They're upset about their boss. They're upset with their neighbors. They're upset with a lot of different things. And we have the message of hope for a lost and hopeless generation. Spencer read to you the verse, the Great Commission. Go into all the world, right? That's the last thing that Jesus said before he was ascended into heaven. The last thing Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of everybody. I didn't really like that scripture. Go into all the world. How can I go? I'm not going over to China. Let the missionary do that, right? I'm not going to Japan or India. Let somebody else go ahead and do that. That's not what I'm called. Well, if you have an understanding of the Greek sense of what that scripture is saying, is that as we are traveling in our world is right where you're living, in your neighborhoods, on the job, at school, wherever you're at, as you are traveling in your neighborhood, that's your world, we can make disciples. So I want to ask you this question this morning. Who are you discipling? If that's the last thing that Jesus said out of his mouth, it was a command, it wasn't a suggestion. Go make disciples. So the question is, who are you discipling? And like a lot of people today, even in our country today, the church, sometimes we get just polarized. We get afraid of what people will think about us, right? If we talk to them about Jesus, they might not accept me, or they'll reject me because I don't want, you know, to enforce my opinions or my beliefs on other people. There's a lot of reasons why people say that they don't want to share about Christ to other people. In fact, there are four reasons why people don't want to witness. I'll get into that a little later. The last thing that my father said to me when he was alive was that he wanted me to fight the good fight of faith. 28 years ago. Can you imagine that? I still remember that. That's the last thing that my dad said. The last thing that I remember as a child growing up, what my mother said to me, you know, we'd had five, there was five of us brothers, and we'd all pray together. She'd all get us in a circle, and we'd pray, Lord, she'd pray, Jesus, help my boys. Let them be good boys. Protect them, help them, guard them. And may they be a witness, a shining light for you, in Jesus' name. And then she'd say, go out and, you know, go to school. And the last thing that I still hear her say in my ears are, don't forget to witness today, boys! Man, screamed in my ears. I think, I don't even know what witnessing is. What are you talking about? You know? And so I remember I'd come home. We'd come home every day. Did you witness today? Who'd you witness today? Nobody. You know? Kind of felt, you know, like, I didn't even know what witnessing was, right? I guess it is talking to somebody about Jesus. So one day I decided, you know what? I'm going to tell somebody about the Lord. So I, as a little boy, I remember going up to this other kid that was swearing and using Jesus' name in vain. I said, do you know who Jesus is? And I walked away. Sure enough, I got home. My mom didn't ask if I witnessed today. And I said, Mom, I witnessed today. Oh, you did? Who did you witness to? Well, it was somebody that I said, I asked them if they knew who Jesus was, and that was it. So, I mean, it all starts somewhere, right? And even as little children, we can all start somewhere. Sometimes we get afraid, right? Here's some of the fear that's involved with why people don't witness. 90% of people that witness, or that have witnessed, 90% of them have said they've failed. They think that, you know, I've got to pray with them, the sinner's prayer right there, and have them accept Christ right on the spot, right? And because they didn't do that, they feel like, oh, I guess I failed, so I'm not going to do that again, right? Or they might feel afraid about sharing their faith. Second reason is biblically they think that people are illiterate. I mean, that I don't know enough about, you know, this religion to talk to people about coming to Christ. What's so difficult? Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, accept him, receive him, ask him to come into your life, and you're born again. Just as simple as that. But we think that we have to know more than what we know. Another reason why people don't think that we should witness is that we will leave that up to the professionals. Pastor Mitch, he is so eloquent. He can share, and people can come to Christ, right? Last reason is that they don't think that they should impose their beliefs on other people. So it's very important that we remove all those obstacles. Look at this little clip here, and I think that this might be you.
Morning, Jen. Robert. Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Free gift.
Sharing your faith doesn't have to be hard. Let's do it together.
Three quarters of Christians believe it is their responsibility to share Christ with others. But 61% of believers do not share their faith with anybody else. 48% of people have never invited anyone to come to church. And people are out there every day. They're at home right now. They're on the golf course right now, which is not a bad place to be, right? But they're out there right now. They're aimlessly wandering around without a clue of what life is all about and without a clue of the purpose that God has placed on their life. How are they supposed to know if we don't share? We need, right, to understand it is a command and the commission that Christ gave each and every one of us. It's not the preacher, although it's the preacher's part. It's our responsibility to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We all need to be actively involved. Evangelism is a process, and I'm a part of it. Let's say that together. Evangelism is a process, and I'm a part of it. They say it takes at least 7.2 times for people to hear the gospel message before one would accept Christ. Isn't that something? So we don't know whether or not, you know, we're number 1, 2, 3, or 7, or 0.2. Right? 7.2 times for someone to hear the message of the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ before they'll come into the kingdom. You know what? It's not our responsibility to niche up on our belt and say, I've prayed with 5 people to accept Christ today. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them. It's our responsibility just to share and be that light to people. There's a style. There's many styles here. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 and 19, we see two diametrically opposed styles here that people had. We see, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. We have two styles. We have the style of confrontational, like John the Baptist. He was that reed that was blowing in the desert. Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. You sinners, you need to come and repent before God. Now, is that a good message? Yeah, it is a good message. Not a lot of people receive it. But sometimes, you know what? It's not a bad thing to hear it once in a while. But then, you know, he's way out of line here. He's way over to the right. Then we have Jesus now that has the style of like the honey and the sugar, right? Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And he comes and he eats and drinks with the tax collectors and the sinners. And he's establishing the right. Now, mind you, he's not even talking. He's talking in stories to these people. He's not preaching to them. They love to hear his stories. Hey, Jesus has got some good stories. We want to hear some more. In fact, you know what he did? After he got done, even after he got done healing, people said, hey, you know what? Don't tell anybody. Shh. Don't tell anybody about what happened. In fact, he wanted to keep it on the low, right? So, and then he knew that if he told them, don't say anything, people are going to, they're going to talk all the more, right? So here's the thing. There's many different styles. There's the confrontational style, number one, like we talked about, going door to door, contact, cold contacting, right? Passing out tracts, doing street witnessing. How many like to do that? Let me see your hands. I don't see anybody liking to do that. But is that a viable ministry? Absolutely. Another style is the intellectual style, right? Sharing apologetics of, I'm going to show you the intellectual way that God is real and that Jesus came to this earth, and go through a litany of facts, right? Scientific facts how Jesus is Lord and how the Word of God is true and how it has stood the test of time. There's a lot of different intellectual ways you can do. There's the invitational style, number three. Hey, we got this great thing happening at church. Love for you to come and be a part of it. And you know what? Does that work? Yeah, that works too. The fourth, in which this church is known greatly in the Blue Water area, and that is acts of service. At Christmas time, you guys are known throughout the Blue Water area. We're going to go down to the reverse Christmas. Thank you for your acts of service. Thank you for blessing the poor, helping those that are in need. Is that a wonderful way to reach out to people, to share the love of Christ with them? Absolutely. See, are any of these methods right or wrong? No, they're all right. But what style fits you the best, right? We need to be like the sons of Issachar, as the Bible says, that we need to understand, the sons of Issachar understood the times that they were in and how to relate to those people. We got to be like the sons of Issachar. We have to have a paradigm shift in our mind, and we've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We've got to know what the bait is, right? Kind of interesting, my little sideline here. My granddaughter and I, we went down fishing, right? We didn't have any bait, but I had a sandwich, a cheese sandwich. I took some cheese on that baby. Poof! Hit on the cheese. So who cut the cheese? Anyway, no. But we caught a fish. I mean, I didn't have anything else, but God used what I had to catch a fish so my granddaughter could go, woo, and touch the thing, right? Like that. But we need to understand what bait, right, to use. And it's different for everybody. But we all need to be actively involved in the process of sharing our faith and how important it is to you. The church today needs to move away from just believing in Jesus to start behaving like Jesus. A lot of people know, have an intellectual. Do you know who Jesus is? Or do you know who the Lord is? Or are you a Christian? Yeah. But you act like the devil, right? We need to move away from just believing and start behaving like Christ. People will know, right? If you're born again by what they look at you. St. Francis of Assisi, famous quote, Catholic priest, said this. Listen to this. We need to preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Isn't that something? We need to preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. So people watch our life. They know. I have people come to me. I don't even have to ask people about the Lord. How come you're so happy? How come you got that smile on your... You'd like to know? Got 5 minutes? And, you know, people will just know by what you do, what kind of faith that you have, or if you have any. So you know what? We have to start behaving like Jesus. We've got to become... That's why this whole project is about relational and evangelism. Here's a LifeWays research. Here's four ways that people are most willing to receive the gospel. You want to know what they are? Four ways that people are most willing to receive the gospel. 63% of 15,000 that were surveyed said this. They're most willing to receive the gospel from a family member. How many of you have family members that are not born again, that are not in the kingdom? Raise your hands. All right? About half of you? 56% of the 15,000 said that they are most willing to receive the gospel or the message of the gospel from a friend or a neighbor. How many of you have friends and neighbors that are not born again? Raise your hands. 48% are most willing to receive from a newspaper ad. Can you go figure on that? Newspaper ad? And 46% from a signed billboard or magazine. Very interesting how people are interested in receiving the gospel. So do you think that we should use some of these principles to start then sharing our faith with those people that are most willing to receive the gospel? Very important to do that. Here's a clip. Now, when you came in, you've received one of these envelopes about My Hope with Billy Graham. How many have got them? Raise them. Okay. Very important. 3-day seminar, and we're going to share it with you in this short time of 30 minutes with you. But there's some looks that are involved with this, and it's on the center of the page here. There's 5 looks that we need to do when we're talking about sharing our faith with others. Look at this clip.
My Hope with Billy Graham is a massive nationwide outreach. Individual Christians like you will look around and reach out in love to your friends, family, and neighbors who don't know Jesus Christ. You'll make a list and look up in prayer every day for each person. As you prepare, look out for opportunities to build your relationships. In November 2013, you'll look forward and invite those individuals to your home or other event. After refreshments, you'll watch a special program with music, stories, and Billy Graham's presentation of the gospel. You'll have the training you need to share how Jesus gives you hope and ask your guests to pray and place their faith in Christ. You'll be equipped to look after new believers with Bible study guides and connect them to your church. Millions of Christians have done this across the globe, and so can you. Go to the website and get involved today.
I want everybody to open up to the last little page here. It has 10 blanks on it. We've been talking this morning about people. Most of you in here raise your hand with the asking or the question of knowing somebody that needs Christ. Thinking about these people that drowned or lost their lives on the Titanic that were crying out for help. Can you imagine that? 700 more people could have been saved if those boats came back. 700 more lives could have been saved. But they were too afraid to get drowned, or they get so crowded that their ship would fall in, and so they kept away. I want us to take a minute, and I want you to think about the people that you raise your hands for, and I want you to write their names in this sheet. I'll give you a couple of seconds here to do that, all right? Because we're going to start the process. Remember, evangelism is a process, and you're a part of it. Boom, boom. All right. You get the idea. I'm a participant of this project myself. If you were to come to my office today, you would see a list. I have 20 people on my list. I'm praying every day by name, these people that are on my list, that God, by your Holy Spirit, would you allow them to have an opportunity to hear the gospel somehow? Would you allow me to have some part in developing some type of a relationship with these people that are so important that they will perish if someone doesn't reach out to touch them? Then you need to look out for ways, right, to invest in them. You need to invite them. Hey, man, I'd love to get together for coffee. I'd like to talk about your family or get to know them a little bit. Invest in them. Let them know that you genuinely care about them. So many times in the church, we don't have people that are not Christians. I'll be the first one to raise my hand that I just wanted to come out from among them and be separate. I just wanted to have all my friends be Christians. Well, how are we ever supposed to fulfill the Great Commission if we don't have some people that are out and don't know who Christ is, right? So you need to develop some relationships with people from the world and genuinely share with them the love of Christ. You've been doing this already. I was here, sat in a service where Pastor Mitch was talking about these little centers where you have little neighborhood gatherings and you invite people. This fits in perfect with what you're doing. This whole thing is going to culminate in November, the first week of November, right? There's going to be a nationally syndicated program, half-hour program on television that you could invite, some of your friends over to your house. Now, you don't have to have them if the time is not right for you. You can download it, go online to their website, and you can download what they're going to be showing and show it to someone one-on-one or get a little group setting. I'm going to go ahead and use the Vintage Tavern is going to be my place. Isn't that something? Because that's where the watering hole is. So you need to find out a place that fits in your, right, fits you. And invite them to come. And then after the half hour presentation, you just take time with your spouse or yourself and get them, tell them how much Jesus has done for you. How much has Jesus done something for you here today? Let me see. Yeah, has he done something for you? Are you excited about what the Lord has done for you? If you can concisely in 3 minutes share with someone what the Lord has done for you and how much having this relationship with Him has meant to you, and just say, hey, we're going to have a word of prayer. In fact, you know what? Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we pray right now? Let's just bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, here, this, I didn't mean to do this, but Lord, you know exactly what you're doing. And Lord, as we're seated here this morning, you know the hearts of everyone that's sitting here. I don't know everyone that's here. Know a lot of people. But you might have been invited to come here this morning because you've been drawn by the Spirit. This place has attracted you because people in here love you and care about you. Is there anybody here that would say, you know what? I really need to make a decision to really serve the Lord and cross over the line here today. Is there anybody that would just raise your hand up and put it down real quick? Anybody here? One, two, three, four. Anybody else? Five? Anybody else? Six over here? Anybody else? Seven? Anybody else? You know what? What a wonderful decision that you made this morning. All heaven rejoices. Let's just say this all together. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I repent this morning of all my sins. I ask that you wash me clean with your blood. I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you made that prayer and you meant that prayer from your heart, let me tell you what. You need to get with myself or somebody else that will be standing up here when we dismiss. And we would love to give you some material. I think there's probably some material that we have that would love to give you to help you on your journey of faith. And that's what this whole initiative is. The 4 weeks following this presentation, that you should open up your home or open up a little place for you at the church here so you can come and learn to grow a little bit more in your faith. So this is a phenomenal opportunity for us to jump in. You know what? Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to do exactly what Jesus did. We need to go out seeking. If you want to get more involved with this, there's a packet of information. We've got one probably for everybody here. If you're willing to just sit down and take home, there's a DVD in here. It gives you a little bit more explanation on what the initiative's all about and how you can actively participate yourself in your neighborhood or wherever you're at, even on your work site. You know what? Thank you for allowing me to come and share this morning with you the word of the Lord. Those of you that have made commitments today, please don't leave. I'd certainly like to get to shake your hand a little bit here after the service, and we'd like to give you some other information. But others of you that are here, thank you for being patient with me and listening to me today. Share about what the Great Commission is all about, and that's sharing our life with others, so that Christ can come in and transform their lives. Father, thank you.